Let's freaking go. It is time to talk football. LSU, do they have a major philosophical issue? It comes down to four letters defensively. R, Y, B, C. Now, look, you don't need to be an analytical maven when it comes down to R, Y, B, C. You also don't need to be a film study expert when it comes to R, Y, B, C. But it was the one thing, more than anything else, that hurt LSU last season. And it's one thing Blake Baker's going to have to fix. Some of it, of course, is philosophy. Some of it also is personnel. And LSU, of course, spent a lot of transfer portal capital on getting better players in to help fix rush yards before contact. That's basically what it means. And it's very simple. How long, when the other team is rushing the football, does it take for you to touch them? That's it. That's all it comes down to, because the hardest thing to do offensively as a ball carrier is break tackles. So that's what rush yards before contact is trying to tabulate. All right. So we're about to dive really deep into the data. Go on ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, all that good stuff, because we've got to have an honest conversation with this stat, because it was a historically bad season for LSU in this department. When it comes to SEC play, one shocking stat I saw was LSU's rush defense was actually the worst it's ever been, or at least since 2018, where they gave up an astonishing 5.11 yards per carry in conference play. Now, think about how many bad defenses there have been at LSU in the post-Dave Aranda era. 5.11 yards per carry. Now, once again, we're just talking about SEC play. They were overall fine in other games defending the run, but 5.11 is not where we want to be. So the question is, was this a Blake Baker or was this a Brian Kelly problem? Was it a personnel problem? Well, I don't fully believe it was a Blake Baker problem, because when you pull up his yard per carry marks at Missouri, they were actually really good. So in 2023, 4.49 yards per carry, that was ninth in the SEC, which honestly is really good. And then in 2022, 3.68 his first year at Missouri. They were really good defending the run. Now, it is noted that the SEC East was weaker than the SEC West. That helps you, obviously, but still, those numbers are ridiculously good. So the first thing, before we dive deeper into these analytics, if you will, that's not really an analytic, that's just a simple counting stat. It's pretty simple when you look at those stats. LSU is in a spot where they know Blake Baker can coach a defense. They know Blake Baker can stop the run because the numbers bear that out. It's also important to point out that LSU defensively just did not have great personnel. We told you that before last season, and it turned out to be true. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Why was the LSU defense bad? Well, I don't think it was necessarily poor tackling. I think it was a mixture of not smart defensive philosophy and some guys getting a little erratic defensively. Okay, so now we add in two different stats, RYBC, which we led off with, and RYAC, which is rush yards after contact. So you notice in the SEC, when it comes to rush yards before contact, 3.35 rush yards before contact, last in the SEC. Not good. Rush yards after contact, though, we were a little bit better at 2.78. So what would that tell you? Well, you take a look at the Matt House defense in 2023. We had a pretty good rush yards before contact number, 1.88. In fact, that's one of our better numbers over the past couple of seasons. But you notice we had a tackling problem at 3.29. Okay, so I do want to include that rush yards before contact and rush yards after contact numbers can be a little shaky. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, depending on which ones you look at, you can tap someone on the shoelace and that be contact, if you will. So I'm using SEC StatCats numbers. There's plenty of other numbers out there. But still, I do think SEC StatCat, while he may not be the most accurate, he is at least directionally accurate. He is a very sharp, sharp, sharp mind. All right. So basically, our defense from the Matt House rush defense to where we are now became a better tackling defense. But we got worse at defending the run and actually touching the ball carrier, which is something that we've talked about pretty recently. A high rush yard before contact number basically tells you that it's not so much the other team is running the football well on you. They are. But it's also you're making it that much easier on them to run the football on you because you're leaving wide open holes for them to run through. So you look throughout the LSU tenure, our rush yard before contact number is nowhere close to the 3.35 mark that you see here, 2.31, which was 10th, 2.17, which was 8th in 2021. And these were bad defenses. 2.86 under Bo Pelini. That was the worst LSU defense of all time. That still isn't close to 3.35. And then other day, Veranda, we were very elite in both of those categories. So when you look at this chart as a whole, two things stand out. The first is an SEC play. LSU has not fielded a top five rushing defense in a very long time. It has been a long time. Now, think about that. We're not talking about top three. We're talking about top five, all right? But we really need to ask ourselves, what can we do to make life difficult on the opposing team's rushing offense? That is so un-freaking-believably important. Okay. Now, I do want to pull up Blake Baker's Missouri stats yet again. And you can see that his rush yard before contact numbers were good overall at Missouri, 1.85 and 1.94. Now, they had a little bit of a tackling issue. They also played Jaden Daniels that season. Everybody had bad RYACs versus LSU. in 2023, but 2.58. So you could see before Blake Baker got to LSU as a defensive coordinator, he was really good. Now, why is this rush yard before contact something, number or stat? Why is it something I'm hammering home? Well, it was historically bad per SEC standards. There hasn't been an SEC defense as bad as LSU in rush yards before contact ever, or at least since SEC StatCat has been charting this since 2018. And you see a lot of really, really, really bad teams on here. You see Vanderbilt on here three times. You see that horrible Arkansas team under Chad Morris in 2019, and then Missouri in 2021 before Blake Baker got there. So this is something else that I wanted to point out, is that in 2021, Missouri was really bad at RYBC. Then they fixed it in Blake Baker's first season in Missouri. So I do not think this is a Blake Baker problem, okay? But I also kind of sort of think it is, because there were instances where we really made life easier by calling aggressive blitzes, calling aggressive stunts, guys just running through gaps. And obviously this was most notably shown in the Alabama game. Now, there was other games where it was tough, but just to put some film with the madness out there, you know, this is, you know, the first touchdown versus Alabama, okay? You know, Jalen Milroe housing this thing, and you could see we're getting all out of our gaps. Tyler Booker's a first-round pick. He's driving guys all the way back to Metairie, and you could see Jalen Milroe goes 39 yards untouched. So all 39 of these yards goes towards that rush yards before contact number. So you see why this number was so high, and a lot of it was two quarterbacks. But there was also a lot of running back touchdowns, including one that, and I'm sick. I can't watch too much Alabama on my own stream. There was a long run that we gave up versus Ole Miss where we didn't really touch the ball carrier. There were so many in the South Carolina game where we really didn't touch the ball carrier. So what do we do to fix it? And can it be fixed? Well, the first thing is absolutely it can be fixed, because we are going to be thicker on our front. Jack Pyburn is a thick defensive end. Sadir Mitchell is a thick traditional nose tackle. When we had good RYBCs, we had Tyler Shelvin in the middle of our defense. We had Rashard Lawrence, Braden Fioco, guys that have played in the NFL, made the NFL, and are thick. And they weren't really penetrators. They weren't really tackle for loss guys. And that's, to me, where I, if I were LSU, I would seriously think, what do we need to do to fix this? Well, I do think when it comes to defending the run, we might be a little too aggressive, right? I understand we want to be a havoc, turnover making defense. I totally get that. But there is a problem with that. If you do that, it can open yourself up to guys blitzing out of their gap. Guys, if they're going on a stunt, they just get far too upfield and you're able to run underneath it per se. And honestly, you just need better defensive tackle play. You know, we were talking about that going into last season, and well, you guys saw what just happened. Now, once again, I will defend that Jalen Milroe run in particular, because it was run behind Tyler Booker, who was the highest drafted offensive guard in this last NFL draft. He's one of the best run blockers maybe ever in the SEC. But we didn't go up against Tyler Booker every week. Went up against good players, but not Tyler Booker every week. It was a problem throughout the season. So do I think it's going to get fixed? I do think our rush yards before contact will be better this year for a few reasons. Number one, we just got better players. We just do. It's Whit Weeks going into the prime of his career. You get a more seasoned defensive tackle room. Your defensive ends, I feel, in particular, Jack Pyburn will be a better run stuffer Patrick Peyton is not known for his run defense, but he's been a part of defensive lines that are really good at defending the run. Most notably, obviously, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. So I do think this defense will be better. And the bottom line is, while really rush yards before contact has more to do with your front seven, you could still work around the explosive rushing touchdowns that you gave up last year if you have safeties back there that could save your ass. Okay. And next year, our safety play is going to be better. Our corner play is going to be better. All of that is going to make life easier on Blake. So you guys know I am a big Blake Baker guy. You know, it was the exact opposite when he was hired, how I felt about him compared to Matt House. You know, when Matt House was hired, I wasn't a huge fan of the hire. When Blake Baker was hired, I was a big fan of the hire. All right. You fix this one thing, you will get better. It's just a given. You will get better. Now, type Y for yes, type N for no. Does this study concern you? You know, we don't really get too analytical on live streams. Normally we do it for like kind of pre-recorded videos or whatever. But this, I feel, is very important. It needs to be discussed. Because if we don't fix it, it's going to be tough. Now, what should concern you more than anything else regarding this stat is you do face a lot of the same quarterbacks you played last year that can really hurt you in this department with their legs. And the mobile quarterbacks hurt us in this way, okay? It just did. Lenore Sellers was by far the biggest beneficiary of us not being good in this stat. All right, South Carolina tore our asses up. They tore our asses up. Now, they were a good rushing attack. Rocket Sanders and Lenore Sellers, they are very good together. They just were last year. But I highly recommend, and this is why I led this entire stream off with this, because this is very deep. It is so important that you take this to heart. All right? You cannot know a lick about football. All right? You don't need to know what a three technique is. You don't even need to know what a robot technique is. You don't even need to know what a green dog blitz is. You don't need to know any of these fancy schmancy terms. All right. Just go watch the games. Most of the full games can be found on YouTube. Every single play. And go watch the runs yourself and see if we made life difficult for them to run the football on us. In other words, did the running backs run our asses over? Did they juke us? Did they do any of it? And what you will see for yourself is that didn't happen a lot. It was on the big runs that we gave up, guys getting a full head of steam because the holes were wide open. All right? It's simple logic. It is simple, simple, simple logic. This isn't the best way to describe it, but let's just use Jalen Milroe. Arguably, outside of Jaden Daniels, the best rushing quarterback we have ever seen in the SEC since Cam Newton. All right? Take Jaden out of the equation. Jalen Milroe is the best rushing quarterback we have ever seen in the SEC. He is that special athletically, all right? So, if we were to use an example, Steph Curry is the best three-point shooter of the past decade, okay? Now, let me ask you this. Would you prefer Steph Curry to shoot an open three, or would you prefer him to shoot a contested three? It's not that Jalen Milroe ran all over us. Okay? He did that to a lot of defenses with his legs. It's that we made it easy on him. If I'm going to get defeated by Steph Curry, I'm going to go down with Victor Wembanyama in the gold medal Olympic game with this 7-foot hand in his face. At least I had some kind of resistance. The best type of resistance you can have versus Steph Curry. The defensive player of the year, Victor Wembanyama. So the truth is, Milroe could have still ran all over us. That's not the problem. It's we did not make it hard on him. And that's the key, okay? Make it hard on him. Make those 39-yard untouched defensive runs. Turn that into a 20-yard run and make them execute in the red zone, where teams on average convert roughly 3 out of every 4 times. It could be a little bit higher depending on the defense, okay? So if they convert touchdowns 3 out of every 4 times, guess what? If you force them to have 4 red zone possessions, 3 out of every 4, one of those being a field goal, that is a 4-point difference over the course of a game, all right? 4 points, that's big. That is really, really, really big, all right? So how many of Alabama's touchdowns in that game did they score in the red zone? The answer is not many. They had explosive rushing touchdowns, untouched. They had 2 really long ones, the 39 one you saw, and then in the second half, they had a really, really long one. And then they had a few easy runs in the red zone where they were just walking in unscathed. All right, it's one thing if it's prime Jaden Daniels, who nobody stopped, but some teams did stop Alabama. They did. Oklahoma did a few weeks later. Held him to 3 points. Make it hard on him. Okay? I had no problem with Jalen Milroe having good rushing days. It's just the extent of how those days actually went. The year before, obviously, no QB spy. This past season, a little bit better in the QB spy department, but it still didn't matter because we just weren't gap sound. And once again, Tyler Booker was a monster. Okay. Now, I understand these kind of negative videos are tough to swallow. It's something I don't like doing. I don't have all the answers, nor am I smart enough to have those answers. Okay. But it's what the data shows. There is no excuse for LSU to ever be the worst in any statistic over a 6-year stretch of time. If it's Vanderbilt, all the power to him. Auburn, yeah, that would make sense. Never should LSU be that way. And we have a few defensive stats where we are the worst of the past 6 years. The worst. We don't need that. We don't need that. I don't want to see any of that next year, okay? So I understand we lost Bo Davis. I understand, we're going to have to figure out the best way to use Harold Perkins. There's still questions that need to be answered, and it's more than just the run, okay? Part of our rushing issue is, well, it's kind of hard for us to have strong safeties and heavy numbers in our boxes when our corners on the outside can't hold up in man-to-man. So if you have better defensive back play on the outside, that's also going to help you in your rush defense, getting more hats in the box and more hats available to roam freely and go make plays. There are so many different factors that go into this, okay? But there are a couple of constants, all right? Number one is that we still do mostly have the same brain trust defensively. And then number two, the quarterbacks are the near identical on our schedule. So while it is good news that Milroe is gone and he's not going to kill us anymore, I'm not supposed to say that word, destroy us anymore, we're still in a good spot versus Alabama, or we will be in a better spot versus Alabama. We're still in a tough spot, though, with Lagway coming back, Sellers coming back, Klubnik in week one. Those guys can run. Talen Green can run. It's going to be hard. And Oklahoma will have arguably the best running back in the SEC next year. So let's see how we hold up. Let's go to Sam. He said, you beat me to it with the amount of good quarterbacks in there. Let's go to Kevin, one of our sharpest viewers. Let's see here. Let me move this over here before I get to Kevin's question. Okay. Mitchell Weeks key, second year Dom and Halsey at safety makes a huge difference defending the run. A safety willing to tackle along and makes good angles is something we have not had for 2 years. That's a very good point. I will also say, you know, Devon Keyes is a good football player. Or at least I'm hoping he's a good football player. Because to play as many snaps as he did towards the end of his true freshman season was pretty fun to see. Okay. And, you know, he had to beat out Xavier Debo Atkins for those snaps, and he did. He can be really good. He can be. All right. But like I said, it's not that I'm mad at anyone. All right. I just want resistance. Okay, that's it. I just want them to earn it. It's difficult. Now, why has it gotten so much harder on us? Well, truth be told, I mean, number one, there are still other defenses who are good at defending the run. And while I felt our schedule was somewhat favorable last year, we did play some really, really, really good running quarterbacks and just running backs in general. All right. We really didn't duck anyone, you know. Florida had Jaden Baugh, Rocket Sanders at South Carolina, Jaquindon Jackson for Arkansas. I mean, there was good backs on the schedule. Jackson Dart, obviously, at Ole Miss and their rushing attack. So the thing is, we didn't have to play Judkins last year. What I will say, though, is LSU knows all this. They have access to all this data, okay? And that's why they got Bernard Gooden. Bernard Gooden held his own against a good Miami rushing attack last year. All right? So I'm excited, while at the same time, cautiously optimistic going into next year. All right. Now, let's see. What else did I have on the docket? As far as the overall defense is concerned, we did overall do a good job of not getting beat over the top. Which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But explosiveness comes in all shapes and sizes. It can come in the run game. It can come in the pass game. And, you know, so much of this next season is going to come down to just everything regarding running the ball, defending the run, and us actually running the football. Garrett Nussmeier himself running the football. Can we do it? Can we do it? We'll see. Now, offensively, I focused so much of my day today looking at the LSU defense under a microscope. Offensively, I do feel from an LSU vantage point, we do need to do an overall better job of being ahead of the sticks. We were a 3rd-and-7 converting machine last year. Y'all, that is risky business, all right? Who converted a good chunk of our 3rd-and-7s last year? Well, Kyron Lacy is one of them. He's gone. But our go-to guy, really in crunch time for these 3rd-and-4th down conversions, was Mason Taylor. He's out of the door. He's long gone. That's why the Jets drafted him so high. So what does that mean exactly? Well, we have got to play sound football on first down. Now, the funny thing about it is I do think LSU is an overall good third down play calling offense. Number one, I feel like their passing concepts on third down are mostly good. I felt like we ran just verticals way too often, if I'm being honest. But overall, third and six and longer, we did a good job throwing. But more importantly, we did a really good job running the football on third and six and longer. You know, a big play in that South Carolina game, when we were losing, we were called a third and seven run that Caden Durham housed. Brian Kelly has been very good at that. He's done that throughout his tenure here, and it's been the most forward-thinking thing he has done since he's been here. A lot of coaches are really done with it, okay? On third and six and longer, oftentimes the best thing to do is run the ball. I know it doesn't make sense, but if the defense is in a passing alignment, you have numbers to run the ball. And we've done a really good job of that. Okay. Now, as far as the actual offense as a whole, we really, really, really do need Garrett and Joe to be better. Garrett obviously fixing his weaknesses and Joe also fixing his weaknesses. The likelihood that both of them get worse is very low, with the continuity of those two not only working together this past year, but working together for mostly the entirety of Garrett Nussmeier's career at LSU. So that level of continuity really isn't too common, that a quarterback-OC combo has been together for this long. Now, obviously, Joe Sloan wasn't the OC the first couple of seasons, but to have 4 years, and basically, even though Garrett only started last year, he's played a lot of games with Joe Sloan. So Joe Sloan has been in a lot of meeting rooms with Garrett, breaking down game footage. You know, they know each other like the back of each other's hands. They have a good relationship with one another. And that in and of itself gets me excited, because if Garrett wants to see Sloan succeed while Sloan is under immense pressure to produce this season, Sloan wants Garrett to succeed because there are millions of dollars on the line with Garrett Nussmeier potentially being the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft. Now, do I think Garrett Nussmeier is worthy of the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft? Well, the LSU side of me says yes, because it's good for LSU. It's good for the fan base. And most notably, it's good for Garrett Nussmeier. I want every LSU player to live that dream that Will Campbell, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers got to live walking across that stage at the NFL draft. And next year, of course, that will be in Pittsburgh. How crazy would it be, the Steelers bottoming out this year, tanking for Garrett Nussmeier, to be selected number one overall in front of Pittsburgh fans next year? It'd be crazy. Okay. Could Garrett be the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. All right. But I did a study on Power Hour NFL from an NFL vantage point. All right. All of my Garrett breakdowns are from a college vantage point. How a college quarterback succeeds at the collegiate level has no bearing really on if he's going to succeed at the NFL level. I say, no, that's hyperbole. It has some bearing, all right? But from an NFL perspective, the game is obviously so different. But goodness, as much as we want to talk about the Garrett Nussmeier turnovers and the lack of a running game and all that stuff, y'all, Garrett Nussmeier was still a very, very, very good quarterback. I know I come off soft and defensive of him when, you know, I go on AYS or I go on Mark Rogers or I go on whichever show. And, you know, I was defensive yet critical of Jaden Daniels before he had his Heisman leap into the top five of the NFL draft. I feel like I try to be as fair as I can with both of them, but so much of Garrett's success is going to come down to one thing and one thing only, and it's something that is outside of Joe Sloan's control, and it might be also outside of Garrett's control to a certain extent.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. I cut it short. But, you know, I do think when you go back and look at, you know, Burrow and his leap and Jaden and his leap, I mean, there was just so much work that they put in behind the scenes. I mean, really, they got after it. You know, I'm a little bit more familiar with Jaden's process than Joe's, but it's well documented how hard they worked, and Garrett works hard too. Okay, but one of the hardest things to do, and I have my weaknesses as a live streamer, I do. Okay, we all have certain weaknesses that we have. You really have to find those weaknesses, say what they are, and work at fixing them. You know, it is still so impressive that Jaden, in so many interviews going into his Heisman season, specifically saying, I've got to get better at throwing the football overall, and I got to get better at throwing the football deep. And I don't care how big of a Jaden homer you are. I was a pretty big Jaden homer, but Jaden had a lot of skeptics, and he had the best deep ball passing season ever in the PFF era. All right, which is nuts. Like, it really, really, really is nuts. Now, you're still in Malik and BTJ, but the best ever, like, ever that PFF ever saw, they bake in who you're throwing to their grades. Jane worked his ass off. So, Garrett, deep ball accuracy is a problem. If he says it's a problem and he works on it, he's obviously got one of the best, most talented, accurate arms in the history of LSU football. I do think when it comes to intermediate passing, he's as good as Jaden Daniels. Obviously, Joe Burrow's probably the best at it. And Jaden was really good in the intermediate. All right, but that just shows you how good Garrett is at the intermediate. All right. Jaden also did not like throwing over the intermediate middle. Garrett is really good at throwing over the intermediate middle, even though I felt there were a few shallow drags that Garrett would miss throughout the course of the season. But one thing I think will help Garrett going into this next year is, as much as I love him, I do think he force-fed Kyren too much. And I have said this quite a few times. It felt like that when you would watch him. Now, Kyren, of course, was very good for LSU last year. There's no denying that. And, you know, obviously, we're all Kyren fans here, and it's very tragic what happened to him. You know, we wouldn't have won the South Carolina game without Kyren. We wouldn't have won the Ole Miss game without Kyren Lacy. But I do think Garrett would get tunnel vision on him because, you know, going into the season, Kyren was so much better than all the other receivers on our team. But Aaron Anderson emerged, and C.J. Daniels was missed a lot. He just was. There's just no other way around it. So maybe Garrett doesn't force feed Kyren as much or just doesn't force feed one receiver as much next year. And to me, that was another big leap that Jaden and Joe took, that the best receiver to throw the football to is not your best receiver. It's the best matchup. All right. Now you got to really think about that and let it saute in your brain for a little bit. But Joe is obviously the best I've ever seen at it. Even in the NFL, he's really good at, hey, I got Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase might be the most talented wide receiver I've ever seen play football. Joe does not force the ball to Ja'Marr Chase just because he's Ja'Marr Chase. Now, sometimes he does, but he will throw to Yoshivas or Gesicki if that is the matchup that he likes, or the right matchup to throw the football to, okay? And Garrett overall does a really good job of that. I just felt sometimes he would force feed when there was better options available. And that's good news if you're Aaron Anderson, okay? BT says Clemson pundits are starting to get a little too overconfident. Well, you got to think about this from a Clemson vantage point, all right? They were the mountaintop of college football. Alabama was one, Clemson was two, for a good five-year period. Clemson's fallen off that mountaintop. They're now in the 10-ish region. I do feel they're a top five team going into next year. So I understand Clemson fans. They are so hungry to get back into that national discussion because they did make another playoff last year. And they still do have their national championship winning head coach. And they have all these NFL draft picks going into next year. Jordan says, I need some NBA playoff content from me. You're not going to get it. Even though I would love to find the time to do an NBA channel. It's something I'm contemplating, you know, next year. I have so many NBA scripts written about what videos I would do. I just never really got around to doing them. Let's go to H-Town Creole. Say hi to Christopher on Facebook. What's good? If Nick Anderson has a season anything like his freshman season with this wide receiver group, straight fire. So, let's talk about Nick Anderson. Very talented player. His catch versus Arizona, and what was that, the Alamo Bowl? From Jackson Arnold was still one of the better bowl catches I've seen. It really was that good. And this is a very strange scenario where he's going into year four, but there are more games that he's not played than he has played as an experienced year four player. So he redshirted his first season. Then his freshman season was the one H-Town Creole is referencing. And then last year he missed last year. He was very good as a redshirt freshman. I mean, very, very, very good with Dylan Gabriel. A willing blocker. You know, there are a few drops mixed in there. He had a big one in Bedlam. But he's a good football player. Now, why wasn't there more buzz around him in the spring? Well, he's coming back from injury. He missed the entire season last year. So, you know, that you got to get back up to speed. Let's take another example of this very thing. Mason Smith basically missed the entire 2022 season. So 2023 rolls around. He's healthy, but he starts off slow. And then towards the end of the season, game-winning forced interception versus A&M, and then the game-sealing pass rush versus Wisconsin. So, you know, if you have a season-long injury, especially after a year you played and basically, you know, played a majority of the snaps the year before, it's tough. Bullfrog says Nick Anderson for the Biletnikoff. I think if there was a receiver on this team that would win the Biletnikoff, it would be Hilton. Or it could be Aaron. Someone who Garrett has some chemistry with. But man, there are snaps up for grabs. There really is. There really, really, really is. H-Town says Nick reminds him of Malik. Oof. So we got a Chris Hilton Malik comparison, and that was from Eddie Kinnison, and I would get a Nick Anderson comparison to Malik Nabers. I disagree with that, but I sure as hell hope you're right. There's just not many football players that have ever played at LSU that's better than Malik Nabers. There's just not. That list is probably a lot shorter than you think. Clemson looms. It's one of those big games that we must win. Todd says Clemson is a must win. I won't go so far as saying a must win. I can't get to must win territory with Clemson. But I do think what has happened in previous seasons do play a role in this, okay? Now, I do want to get to something from a friend of the channel. He jumped on here roughly a year ago at this time. Need to get him back on. The great Andy Staples of On3 released his list of the top 10 jobs in college football. Okay. Now, I have said this while Andy Staples is on has been on the show. All right, I just told him this basically to his face, that the guy he does all his shows with, this Ari Wasserman guy, to me, has the worst takes in all of college football. And that is saying something, okay? And that's good. You know, it gets people going. But I really do mean it. And I won't get into what Ari Wasserman did to LSU a few years ago that, you know, should get your credential revoked. It's not anything nefarious, but for a take, is borderline criminal what he did a few years ago. I'm not bringing it back up because I get really fired up about it. And it has something to do with something we talked about on this live stream tonight. Okay, not going to bring it up again, though. But even Ari Wasserman agreed with Andy Staples that LSU is a top six job in all of college football. Now, that sounds like an insult. And it would have been during the Les Miles or Ed Orgeron regime. But now it's not an insult. Because LSU, while they have spent a lot in this transfer portal, we do not have the deepest pockets. Oregon does. Texas does. They just have it. Now at LSU, we got it too. We just ain't got it like them. And you see here that both of them have put LSU ahead of Alabama as the best job in the SEC outside of a few schools. Now, Wasserman puts Texas A&M ahead of LSU. I am okay with that. If you know anything about A&M's NIL situation, you get it, okay? Now, I do think both of them got the number one job wrong. Ohio State's the best job in the country. And I'm not just saying that because they just won the Natty. It is the best job in the country, okay? Georgia's number two, Texas is number three, Oregon's number four. I would put LSU five. So Andy's list is correct. This is the correct top five. Notre Dame at six. I would probably put Alabama slightly ahead of Notre Dame. And then Michigan, Clemson, I think is too high. That's my biggest gripe with Andy, is Clemson is a Dabo job. I would need to see someone else win at Clemson before I say Clemson. Penn State at 10, I'm fine with that. Wasserman has Oklahoma at number 10. I'm fine with that. Oklahoma's a great job. But I think both of them did a fine job. I do. Now, if I were to look at a few names that didn't make the list, Tennessee is a job that I would consider a top 10 job. I would take the Tennessee job over Clemson job. I would. You know, one thing I would hate as the Clemson job is, once again, following Dabo, who is Clemson. You know, at least Alabama had a dynasty before Saban got there. I know Clemson won a title in the 80s and they had some good teams, but you get the point. Okay. But, you know, and I know I'm biased. I said what I said yesterday about Tennessee. I love the Vols. I love their fan base. They have good NIL, not elite NIL. They got good NIL, not elite. But I do think the job that was not included on either of those lists that I feel is low-key a good job is SMU. We have been on the SMU train since NIL was announced. They've got money. And here's the thing about the SMU job that is good, okay? Now, when I am deciding who has the best job in college football, I am factoring in a lot of different things. Pressure. Of those 10, and I'll put it back up here yet again, all right? There is such an immense pressure at every single one of these schools listed to win natties. Nothing less. Every single school that's on here. And in total, there's 11 schools on here. You've got to win natties. And it's just, there's nothing short of natties. Now, does SMU want to win a natty? Sure. But SMU is not close to the pressure that all those other schools are. So I have a fertile recruiting ground, a lot of money, and not as much breathtakingly numb pressure to win. I like that job. SMU is a bunch of deep-pocketed money boosters and fans that are happy they're back in the conversation. There is no fan base that is happier to just be relevant than SMU after what all they've been through. And once again, a lot of that is in way yesteryear. But even before that, you know, they had Courtland Sutton and Trey Quinn in the same wide receiver room and couldn't really win anything. So if I'm factoring in the pressure to win and what I need to go through to get to the college football playoff, SMU is the most underrated job in America. Now, the biggest thing that people would push back on is that you are in Texas. And you do have A&M and Texas and even TCU and Baylor all in your state. And that is indeed true. And that is a big obstacle to clear. I still think it's a great job. Good campus, too. Good campus. You get to live in a top five media market. That's not really the college experience, but there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. But I do appreciate, you know, when Andy Staples is on here and I say what I said about Wasserman, he did not push back. I mean, he did, because that's his boy, but he didn't. I honestly thought he was, because I didn't tell him that beforehand, that I was going to absolutely destroy his really good friend and podcast co-host. But look, you know, I don't have a podcast college football co-host, but if somebody did that, somebody came on here and they hated Blake or John Eads, if you will, I'll let them go at it. They're adults. They can handle themselves. Blake's had guests that don't like me. That's fine. I mean, as long as you have a reason. So, here's something else about the SMU thing that H-Town Creole, you know, living in Houston, you know this. What's up, Jared? Surprised Staples even has us on the list. I'll tell you, that Andy Staples appearance last year was insane. All right. There is an airport at SMU. All right. An airport. Airport. Why is that important? You know how hard it is to fly into a college city? It's hard as hell. Airports matter. They do. Airports really matter. Oh, yeah, Chance. I surprisingly, I do. You learn about it. I mean, everybody that does YouTube has, even if they have a small amount of viewers, they do. Now, do people overrate the amount of, like, haters and naysayers and all that stuff? Yes. There are very few people that work in sports or are athletes that have real naysayers. I always go back to Ed Orgeron. If there was ever a man who had haters and doubters, it was Ed Orgeron. All right. He could legitimately say that. Now, I don't know if he's ever just come out and said, well, I silenced all the critics and, you know, all that stuff. I'm sure he has in an interview. But he never really circled back as much as I thought he would in interviews. The haters. But, dude, and rightfully so. I mean, he was so bad at Ole Miss. But he silenced all the critics. Coach the greatest team of all time. So, you know, yeah, I've had a few media beasts, but I mean, I handle most of them behind closed doors. There's only one public one I've done, and that was for the SEC channel, and that was strictly something I tried to handle behind closed doors. And then he tried to end the entire business. And that was when I had to go public. You can't let that happen. So, you know, as it would be the case for you at your job, if someone walked in and said, hey, I don't want this guy working here anymore, girl, whatever, you have to defend yourself. All right, same thing. But yeah, I have beef with Ari Wasserman. I do. And until he actually comes on this channel or I go on their channel, and if it never gets settled, it's fine. It's not anything personal though. It's just I think about it a lot. You know what's interesting about the CeeDee Lamb trade, or not CeeDee Lamb, the George Pickens trade that happened earlier today, is, you know, it is interesting now because there are some Cowboys fans that live in Louisiana. Clifton here is a big Cowboys fan. Y'all, Jane Daniels is going to run that division for a decade. Everybody knows it. They just don't want to admit it. And I think that's part of the reason why Dallas made the George Pickens trade. You've got to be bold to beat Jaden. Like, he's that freaking good. Some guys just are that dude, and Jaden is that dude. Yeah, I appreciate the Cowboys being bold, even though I don't like them. Now, let's see. Let me look at this. No LSU baseball discussion tonight because we went hard with two LSU baseball guests. Pause. That's such a bad pause. But if you want to get some baseball discussion, there you go. We do have the Piggies coming to town. Number 3 ranked Piggies. 6:35, 3:33 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. So we, it's still up in the air if we're going to go live tomorrow. I have a family matter I have to attend tomorrow. But, you know, we'll keep you up to date on that. All right. Big thanks once again to Zion Imaging and Fast Draft Fantasy. Don't forget, sign up now. Promo code Carter. Deposit match bonus up to $50. Fast Draft Fantasy. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight. Oh, we're doing some beef. Some teriyaki beef. Let's go. Let's go.